This is Pure Decking, show number 439 for Thursday, June the 3rd, 1965. Figure out that year. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and hiding from the politics. I'm Morps. I have bourbon. Tonight, we have Mad Men. What is up, Mad Men?
I have Blue Moon, and I'm really studying these Tic Tacs. They could be interesting.
Are you talking about the candy, or did you mispronounce a social media or social network?
No, I'm talking about the ones on gun camera footage.
Oh, the UFO story.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Okay, I was really lost there for a second. And we have, are you?
I'm here. I'm trying to kick my dorking addiction again. God damn it. Thought I was out.
But you keep pulling me back in.
Oh man, it has gotten so much worse.
You son of a bitch, I'm in.
There is so much stuff out there now. Ridiculous.
I actually started playing around with the idea of setting up some automated dorking stuff based off a local hosted Cirex instance. And I got so far as setting up some VMs and then realized, what am I doing with my life? And
I was thinking that. Like, yeah. You don't need to automate it, man, once you get in that rhythm, you know?
Well, it's more, I was thinking it'd be fun to have just the folder of finds where you just come back and look through it every once in a while, kind of like digital archaeology, you know?
Yeah.
But
it did feel good to have Google ask me if I was a robot again.
Are you a robot? No, but thanks for noticing the cyberpunk cosplay.
Exactly. Why, I'm trying. Thank you for noticing.
Oh, I just thought of, speaking of hiding from politics, I just thought of a good one. Somebody, preferably somebody with a prosthetic limb, needs to sue Google for being insulted that it's asking if they're a robot or not.
Oh, there you go.
You think we can get a group of vets together who are missing limbs to pretend to be offended that Google is calling them robots for having fake limbs?
No, I don't think we could. Because vets have way more dignity than that.
I know, but I was thinking that would be the headline. But you're right. So, okay.
No, I know some vets that could do this.
And I don't want to impugn their dignity, Madman.
The question is, how much, you know, Would Google give them go-away money or not?
No, I think they'd change the terminology. Mm. They'd love to make the word robot something of the no-no word.
Oh, one of the many no-no words.
Yep.
I've lost track of the no-no words. Is there a wiki somewhere where I can see a listing of the no-no words so I know what to use in my next conversation?
I've got a large list scrawled in feces on my left wall.
Oh, okay.
You know, right next to the diagram of how to find. I better not say that one.
That one's next to where the gold's buried. Anyways, all right, well. Yeah. I have some thoughts on that, but it veers so hard into politics that I just... Let's go to the first story. It's just not, it's not even worth getting into that conversation. You know, it's really not.
Maybe later. Maybe later.
Maybe off stream so we can decide if it's worth doing something with or not. But it comes down to, I think that the term social justice warrior is not the correct one. But that's okay. Well,
No, that I retired that term years ago.
Yeah, that's.
There are much more derogatory things you can call them now.
Well, I was just trying to think.
There could be more than one class. How about some bards or some wizards?
Yeah, I could see that.
It's a social justice barbarian. Run! They're raging.
Well, I'm heading out into public this weekend, so see how that goes.
Yeah. I thought that wasn't allowed after the incident.
One Mike's hard lemon away from spouting FBI figures. You know what I mean? It's going to be a rough weekend for certain people. Because I'm allowed to drink.
Oh, dear.
That's the only way I go out in public anymore. It's like, is there going to be alcohol there?
No? Well, I'll see you next time.
Yeah.
So,
like, there's got to be barbecue, alcohol, and or a live band.
So, first article, no surprise that we're talking about this one. It's been all over the place. This one's from Ars Technica. Of course, it's everywhere. Amazon devices will soon automatically share your internet with neighbors. If you use Alexa, Echo, or many other Amazon devices, you have 10 days until you're opted into an experiment that leaves your personal privacy and security hanging in the balance. And this was posted on the 29th, so it's more like 6 days now. Oh, yeah, no, 5 days. On June 8th, the merchant, web host, and entertainment behemoth will automatically enroll devices in Amazon Sidewalk. The new wireless mesh service will share a small slice of your internet bandwidth with neighboring Sidewalk-capable devices that don't have connectivity. So this is Amazon-only devices. Basically, what they're doing is saying, oh, this Amazon device has internet? Well, it's going to share its internet with Amazon devices that don't. Because it's more important that that Amazon device has internet connectivity than, you know, they respect the fact that... Actually, I think this might violate the, you know, Computer Fraud and Abuse Act. I mean, it's like you're just giving up access to other people's networks because you have a device on them. I mean, it's probably in the fine print somewhere that they're allowed to do this. But actually, do they have a list of the actual devices? Because I was looking on like my Fire Stick and couldn't find it. Let's see. Sidewalk bridges. Oh, yeah, there's all kinds of stuff. You know, because they're, how can I get involved? How can I add a bridge? How can I do all this? Because I guess these things are in the 900 megahertz spectrum. Oh, they use Bluetooth. Well, that explains that. But, yeah, this is things like the Ring Flood Cam, Ring Spotlight Cam, Echo Dot for kids. Echo Show, Echo Flex. So it looks like it's mainly Ring and then the little smart speakers. But, so yeah, if you have your Amazon-branded listening device, the new mesh wireless mesh service will share a small slice of your... Okay, I already read that. By default, a variety of Amazon devices will enroll in the system come June 8th, and since only a tiny fraction of people take the time to change the default settings, that means millions of people will be co-opted into the program whether they know anything about it or not. The Amazon webpage linked in the article says Sidewalk is currently only available in the U.S. A full list of devices that can act as Sidewalk bridges are the floodlight cam. Okay, I just read that off the webpage. Yeah, that's all that stuff. So... Amazon has published a white paper detailing the technical underpinnings and the service terms, and says it will protect the privacy and security of this bold undertaking. To be fair, the paper is fairly comprehensive, and so far no one has pointed out specific flaws that undermine the encryption or other safeguards being put into place, but there are enough theoretical risks to give pause. Wireless technologies like Wi-Fi and Bluetooth have a history of being insecure, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, if you have something that is using Sidewalk... You have to use the Alexa app. You go into more, and then settings, account settings, Amazon Sidewalk, and then turn it off. So I guess if you're, you know, fairly certain that it's your own devices using it, but, I mean, how long until somebody takes a Raspberry Pi, spoofs the right Bluetooth ID, and gets into this thing, and then now they're in your network, right? I mean, or just buys an Amazon Echo and solders a serial port onto the damned thing. I mean,
well, if it's any Amazon device, what if I just don't want them bogging down my network? I mean, I have a lot of streaming and porn that I might be interested in.
Thank you for the opportunity to use my new sound effect, Medman.
Well, of course, just another afternoon of surfing the internet for hardcore porn with your kids.
I had to cue that up for you.
I was wondering if I was going to get to use that tonight or not, because I didn't have any hardcore porn stories, but I did the clip anyways because it was hilarious.
The wisdom of TV Daddy.
Yeah, because it's not just security. It's I have limited bandwidth. I'm currently, you know, sometimes using it for work, often using it for entertainment, but I don't want everyone on my network. And with as logistic as all these, internet service providers are, what if somebody starts pirating using my Echo device?
Well, supposedly it's only connections to other Amazon devices, but again, how long until that's popped? And you're right. Now you have to worry about, I mean, that I remember back in the day when people used to say, you know, put an unencrypted wireless access point on your network. So if you ever get a piracy letter, you had, you know, plausible deniability. Oh no, I run open Wi-Fi for the neighborhood kids so they can do their homework. One of them must have been running LimeWire, officer. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about them stealing my stuff as much as I just want to know what's on my network.
Step one of building a secure network is to know what's on it. And if you have devices that just auto-configure and open up access points and create their own mesh, sure, it's convenient for people who don't want to think about how this stuff works, but it's also convenient for people who understand how this stuff works and have a distinct lack of, you know, moral character. So, you know, and they're saying in Amazon's initial white paper, nobody's found any immediate security concerns yet. But it's not turned on and it's not out there yet. So
they haven't dumped it into the wild.
Yeah, nobody's banging on it yet either.
Yet. That's the word. Yet.
Oh, as soon as this goes live, people are going to be looking into it.
Oh,
I mean, not even for malicious purposes. They'll just be people trying to figure out, how does this work? What is it doing?
Yeah.
So, but I think the part that bothers me the most about it is that you've got this list of Ring and Amazon Echo devices that are already out there. Like, it's not like this is a new product that you can just buy and put in the house, or a new feature that they're adding to, you know, to some of these existing things. No, they're turning it on existing products. You know, like some people, I know people use the video calling in the Echo, the show, as an alternative to FaceTime, and I know other people who use the calling through the Amazon Echoes to like check on their kids and stuff like that. People I work with, so you know they've had these things for years, and now Amazon is just turning this on, and it's not an opt in; it's an opt out. And I think that bothers me more than anything, is that they're just changing how these devices work without even so much as, I mean, you know, when the article came out, you had a 10-day warning.
That's why I threw the story at you, man. I'm like, do you see this? It's the opt-out thing that made me worry.
Well, you know? I don't know how to, I don't want to say there should be a law. I kind of want to say there should be a law. But whenever you say there should be a law, that means I want the government to enforce this at gunpoint. I don't know that I feel that strongly about it. But you know, technology companies should be opt-in, not opt-out. Like, as a general default stance, it should be opt-in, not opt-out. And
well, on this, it might not be let's use the force of government, but I could see using the generic rule of from now on, electronics companies are opt-in as force of government, and it could be fines.
Well,
I know eventually if you don't pay those, people with guns will show up. But
yeah, I mean, anytime you say there's a law, what you're saying is at the very end of it, I want this enforced at gunpoint by the government. That's what you're saying when you say there should be a law. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of steps between the people with guns showing up and noncompliance, usually fines, court dates, and you know somebody who's very intent on being belligerent. But at the end of it, ultimately, if there's a law and somebody's refusing to pay the fines, refusing to comply with the law, or refusing to go to court, ultimately somebody with a gun is going to show up.
Yeah. Well, the one reason I'm fine with making, I'm thinking this could be okay to be a law, is how many things do you own now? If I would have bought an Amazon Echo, I'm agreeing to whatever terms of service, and those terms of service can be changed at any time. I have no say in that. So if they threw this on there, are they going to give me a refund if I don't want my Echo being used as a Wi-Fi spot?
Probably not.
So if I have no say in how they're going to change those terms of service, then yeah, there should be some laws protecting me, and those should be enforced by gun. That's the way all property rights are enforced. So if you're going to have it where you can change our agreement at a whim, then yes, the government has the right to protect me. No, not the right, the responsibility to protect me.
Well, I'm just thinking, you guys know I was talking about buying one for a while. I gave in and bought a gimbal for my phone to use, you know, when I'm doing a camera.
Yeah.
And it was one of the DJI ones. So it was previous gen, so it wasn't really that expensive. And, you know, I'm sitting there setting it up, and they had three different license agreements before you could finally get the damn thing to work. However, I will say at the top of all of them was, if you do not agree to this, you know, agreement, then return the product for a full refund. But I assume that's only good, you know, when it's new. When it's, you know, still in the box and all that. But, so, I don't know. I also don't know how enforceable these shrink-cracker agreements really would be in a court of law, but, yeah, I mean, I don't know, because, you know, how do you enforce this idea of an opt-in? You know, it's easy to say in plain language, but, you know, that never survives being made into a law. There's too many loopholes, too many ways around it, so you have to define what does that mean, what is, you know, and how do you enforce, and all those other things. So I don't know that I actually want a law made. But I would love to see technology companies adopt an opt-in position as default. I mean, so.
Cause I don't know if they would, because they'd lose too much money.
Well, and that's the problem, right? Because they're literally just changing shit that's already sold whenever they want. And, you know, if you're buying into some of these devices, especially like the smart speakers, you know it only works through the Amazon service. You know that it's a gateway into their system, and not like nobody's buying a smart speaker because they want to use it as a high-end, you know, audio device. They're buying it to use the online service. So you've got a bit of an argument there that, you know, changing the functionality is just keeping up with the service. But the Ring doorbell stuff, that's less of an argument, because you're buying that for a security system, not to, you know, not to talk to a virtual voice pretending to be a person. But, yeah, I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like this idea of them just changing shit after you bought it and opting you into it. But then again, I don't like Microsoft installing updates without asking too. So maybe it's a matter of perspective. Because professionally, from a security point of view, I'd rather them get the updates out and squash the malware than. But at the same time, it's the number of times I've had my machine just decide it's time to update. Fuck what you're doing, you know, because there is nothing more important that you could be doing with your computer than installing Microsoft updates. Actually, my favorite was the guy who was in the middle of a Counter-Strike Go tournament, and Windows starts installing Windows 10 right in the middle of it. And it's just like,
oh, fuck. You're screwed. And that could have cost him money depending on the tournament.
I don't know. I just remember seeing the video, because you see his face just goes from shocked and then go to white when he realized he's out, he's done, because his whole system just kicked him out and starts installing Windows 10. So
most unfortunate.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I've on one hand, you know, when you're dealing with all these internet-enabled devices, I get it. I'm not a big fan of the cloud terminology, because what you're doing is, by talking about the cloud, is pretending that it's something other than somebody else's computer. But, you know, whatever.
And didn't we already have a term for this? Wasn't this just mainframe computing?
Yeah, but when you say mainframe, generally you're considering that it's the mainframe is owned by, like, the company you're working for. But, yeah, it's the same model as mainframe, where you have the big central computer that's managing everything, and then all your terminals connecting to the mainframe. Actually, back in the day, the terminals connecting to the mainframe couldn't do anything else. They were just dumb serial terminals. Nowadays, they usually use PCs to connect into the mainframes, so they can do other things. But, you know, the web model is just that kind of amped up. You know, and instead of a mainframe, it's a server farm, but it's the same concept. You know, big centralized computer that everything else connects into to do work. And there's definite benefits to that design. There absolutely are. It's just, it gets a little bit weird when you're dealing with systems like this and users not having a choice. I'm going to sound like fucking Richard Stallman here shortly. You start going on about the four freedoms.
He may take it a bit far, because I do believe programmers should get paid for their work. So you can't make all software free.
Well,
and I could see, I own my software, but I have to pay or subscribe for updates. And then it's up to me to decide whether it's worth paying those subscription fees.
Yeah.
Or if I just own the base product that I bought.
Freedom Zero, just do whatever you want with your code. I agree. I agree, DP View. I think that's called the BSD licensing. I'm pretty sure that's what the BSD license is. It's like, here it is, just do what you want. So, anyways, I think we've beaten that one into the ground. Next one up is from Bloomberg. Employees are quitting instead of giving up work from home.
What did they expect?
Well, you know, when I first started having to work remote full time for, you know, the COOF, I hated it. I was so used to going into the office and, you know, having that nice separation between work and home. And
90 days, man.
Yeah.
90 days. That's all it takes for a human to readjust.
A year later, and it's like, I'd kind of prefer working remote most of the time. I still like going in the office and every once in a while seeing everybody, but I'm probably going to be working remote half my week from now on, just because, well, one, they're rearranging the offices at work, and I'm not terribly pleased about the outcome of that, but two, it's like, what's the fucking point? If I'm going to spend all day on WebEx, why not? You know, why not stay at home and do it, and supposed to, you know, why do I need to drive into an office, shut the office, you know, go into the office door, close it, sit there by myself in my desk, on my work desk, and sit on a WebEx all day, when I could do that from home in shorts, and at least keep the cat mildly entertained while listening to people, you know, argue so over scope and other bullshit.
You're that committed to ruining real estate. Is that what you're trying to tell me?
Yep. I am a supervillain devoted to the destruction of commercial real estate. I'm waiting on my mail order mask and cape. I have the iron glove so that I can stand, you know, on top of the parking garage, you know, and shout at the top of my lungs, kneel before my lack of shame.
I mean, this is what it's all about, really, is a bunch of people who've made a lot of money off renting office spaces over the years are just about to find out that their income stream is about to be really down to a trickle.
Well, I mentioned I wasn't really happy with some things they were doing at work office space-wise. That's because they're reducing the footprint of the flooring. And
footprint of the flooring. Don't you mean downsizing office space?
Specifically subletting a floor out, yeah.
Yeah. This is less space, same amount of office.
And where my team is currently situated, the executive suite decided they wanted that space because they're losing theirs. So I have to relocate my team, and I'm not terribly pleased about that because the spot they're putting us in sucks. It was actually that or an even worse one, so we're taking the lesser of two evils, but, you know, it's still only a half-polished turd. I mean, it's like if you're going to polish the turd, you can at least do the whole thing, right? So
yeah.
Look, good news. We're adding beanbag chairs and the vending machine and a foosball table.
Well, I'm still waiting on the foosball table and the beanbag chairs, but they do have the vending machines. Actually, yeah, it's been really obvious lately. Like, they had the snack cart coming around and giveaways for a car wash bucket and some other shit like that. And by bucket, it's basically a Lowe's bucket with, like, you know, some Walmart, like, car cleaning soap and wax and a sponge in it. It's like, that's like $5 at Walmart for they're doing a raffle for.
They're desperate to get people back in the office. Like, because they've just realized that downtown, there's no reason to have 900 fucking coffee shops in the CBD precinct. Because restaurants are going broke because there's no one there. And why the fuck would you want to go into an American city right now when the rule of law doesn't exist?
Did we do the Deutsche Bank story or did we? I think I decided it wasn't a decking story. But Deutsche Bank put out a study a while back wanting to, you know, encouraging states and cities to impose a work from home tax to subsidize these businesses that weren't making money off of, you know, office workers anymore. And
we didn't do this story.
Yeah, we wouldn't have done it on decking because it wasn't really a decking story. But it was just one of those things where it's like, how fucking arrogant are you that it's like, oh, we're not getting our dime off you because you're working from home now? We're just going to tax you and take it anyways.
Yeah. Welcome. That's how it is now.
So. I just need to come up with a better way of getting my money. I will give it to you. I am a moron.
Fucking massive shakedown, dude. All it is.
So this one's from Bloomberg. A 6-minute meeting drove Portia Twitit. There's a name. To quit her job. She'd taken the position as a research compliance specialist. Research compliance specialist. Oh, auditor. In February, enticed by promises of remote work, then came the prodding to go in the office. Meeting invites piled up. The final straw came a few weeks ago. Request for an in-person gathering scheduled for 360 seconds. Twitit got dressed, dropped her two kids at daycare, drove to the office, had a brief chat, and then decided she was done. Quote, I had just had it, said Twitit, 33, who lives in Marietta, Georgia. I mean, she uses the IBM Jazz team server. With the coronavirus pandemic receding for every vaccine that reaches an arm, who the fuck wrote that? The push by some employers to get people back in the offices is clashing with workers who've embraced remote work as the new norm. While companies from Google to Ford Motor and Citigroup have promised greater flexibility, many chief executives have publicly extolled the importance of being in offices. Some have lamented the perils of remote work, saying it diminishes collaboration and company culture. J.P. Morgan Chase & Co.'s Jamie Dimon said at a recent conference that it doesn't work for, quote, those who want to hustle.
But just keep bringing in that Coke, Jamie.
Yeah. But legions of employees aren't so sure. If anything, the past year has proved that a lot of work can be done from anywhere, sans lengthy commutes on crowded trains or highways. Some people have moved. Others have lingering worries about the virus and vaccine-hesitant colleagues. Fair! Sorry.
Fuck what they just said then. If they've had the vaccine, why are they worried about catching the fucking thing off someone who hasn't got it? should be the other way around. The dude who hasn't taken the vaccine should be shitting himself that the vaccinated person does some viral shit onto them.
You know, if somebody called up their boss and said, look, my doctor says I'm immunocompromised. I can't take the vaccine. I am terrified to go in the office because I'm going to get the Wu flu. You know, the great sneeze forward. I took the list of funny names off the show notes finally because we hadn't been using them. So I'm trying to remember them now. I mean, that sounds like a legitimate concern. And hell, my own company, they were strongly encouraging the vaccine. And then right after that, talking about how, and remember, it's almost review time. I was like, wait a minute. She's like, you can't do that. You can't do that. Yeah, almost everybody's gotten the vaccine. So, you know.
DPView's got a good point there. The digital nomad lifestyle. It's been normalized. And you know what? Everybody was totally on board when this started, but now the numbers are being crunched in the economics and they're figuring out that it's not what they want. They can't have it. They can't have digital nomads. They got to keep it corralled.
For one, it gets a lot easier. I've had several people leave recently because they've gotten offers from companies way out in the, you know, way out somewhere else, not here, saying, oh yeah, you can work remote full time. And, you know.
Yeah, that's enticing to people now.
Oh yeah. And, you know, you're working remote anyways. So for one thing, if somebody comes along with a better offer, well, why wouldn't you take it? Especially if it is full time remote. And yeah, too.
Yep.
Company cultures and this idea of bringing you into the office, one, it's old school paranoia on the part of the management. If they don't see you, you know, if you don't have enough butt and chair time, they don't think that you're doing work. And two, you know, if you have that company culture, that does discourage people from looking at better opportunities because, you know, oh, they like their team, they like their boss, they like coming into that, you know, they like the fancy office, they like, you know, the amenities or whatever. But, yeah, you know, if you're working from home most of the time anyways, what do you care?
Once again, you know, the taxes thing that DPView brings up. Hey, I work for a Silicon Valley company in California, but I'm going to live in Nevada because fuck Californian taxes, right?
Most states are set up that if you earn your money in the state, oh, how does that work if you're working remote?
That's what I mean. It's just they've started crunching the numbers and they've gone. That's why the Deutsche Bank article was so big, because they've crunched the numbers on what can happen. And they're suddenly figuring out that this world they pushed everyone into Zoom meetings and shit like that got normalized after 90 days. The pressure was coming off people. They put the mask on. People are terrified. They feel naked without it now. Fucking then you're forcing them to go into the office without a mask on for fear of whatever. Dude, you're kicking up some serious anxiety with the boomer generation. Yeah, and those who toe the party line are just freaking the fuck out that they have to take the mask off and go back to work. They've been given essentially 14 months of something that they'd never had to experience before, living with themselves. And living with oneself is rather challenging for the first 90 days if you're not capable of self-entertainment that doesn't involve 24-hour-a-day fucking masturbation using the internet, you know? I gave you another opportunity to play Daddy Tucker.
Well, of course, just another afternoon of surfing the internet for hardcore porn with your kids.
Yeah, so...
Get so fucked up.
But no, that's what it is. The psychology of it is you've terrified the living fuck out of people who toe the line. You've disseminated God knows what sort of wrong information about the entire thing over the entire 14 months so far. And I say so far because I think that we've got another year of this, maybe two, before we're finished. But the bottom line is the numbers aren't looking good for retail, and they aren't looking good for industrial. And on top of that, record amount of people just going, you know what? I'm not going back into that office because I'm comfortable now.
The big box retails in this country are doing well. It's the mom and pop shops and stuff, local businesses that were hurt by the Wu Flu here.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to read the rest of the article because we've pretty much covered it. It's exactly what we were all saying. But, you know, it is kind of an interesting read because it goes into the story of basically this woman who they're following throughout the article eventually gets, you know, contacted by a recruiter, and the recruiter says, oh, you want 100% remote? Oh, yeah, we can do that. So, yeah,
I mean, it's bearing true in the psychology fields. They're seeing more and more, especially women between the ages of, you know, 28 to 48, and I think about 58 or something like that. I can't remember the study. The anxiety level's over 60% now. I mean, crippling anxiety of having to take a mask off and go back out to work. They do not want to do.
Well, that's interesting you say take the mask off, because
the mask is the big thing right now. Well, with psychiatrists are seeing anxiety levels. It's almost as akin to being naked in public now.
Well, that's funny because a couple of weeks ago was the first time I was able to get my hair cut without everybody around me in hazmat gear, because I live in a state that's dropping a lot of the mandates. However, my employer is multi-state, and so they're basically adopting the most stringent requirements of whatever state we're operating in so they can prove compliance, and they're not dropping it till the last state drops it. So I don't have to wear the mask anymore to get a haircut. I don't have to wear the mask to go in a store. Now, I still see some people doing it, not a lot, but a few. And I've made no secret that I'm moving later this month. In the area I'm moving to, I walked into a coffee shop and wanted a cup of coffee. And I was sitting there trying to get the mask on because I realized I'd forgotten it. And I grabbed it out of the car as I was walking in. And the girl just looked at me and said, oh, we don't do that here. I say, excuse me? She goes, yeah, we're serving coffee. We're not bothering messing with masks. I'm like, oh, thank you. So I just shoved it in my pocket. I'm like, great. In fact, in that town, I think I've only seen a handful of people wearing masks in stores and stuff. And it's just like, it's funny almost, because, you know, at the you go online and see people losing their fucking mind. And actually, in one of the stores up near where I work, I saw people losing their fucking mind at people not wearing masks. But now, I mean, hell, half the employees in the store aren't wearing the mask. So it's like, it's done here. But I have to go in the office. I have to wear the fucking mask.
There's an avalanche of psychological problems about to happen. I had a client for 3 years. She had crippling anxiety, could not go anywhere without wearing a dark pair of sunglasses.
Couldn't worried about UV?
No, just watched the Blade movie one too many times.
She could not make eye contact. She didn't like people looking at her. And I don't mean, oh, I'm just going to have a cry in a corner. She would try and kill people if she thought they were intentionally looking at her, because she was that crippled with anxiety.
Are you? I need remind me when we get off the show. I need to send you a YouTube video that I'll have to dig out of my history. You will enjoy it.
Always do. Anyway, beat that horse. Next story.
This one's from NPR. Did I post the link yet? I did. Cool. Amazon will stop testing job seekers for marijuana and now backs legalizing weed. Amazon will no longer test most job applicants for marijuana use in the latest sign of America's changing relationship with pot. Amazon, the second largest private employer in the U.S., is Walmart still number one? I think they are.
Possibly. I don't know.
I mean, at one point,
I know they ceased being the largest retailer.
Who's the largest retailer? Amazon?
Yeah. That's if you're not counting brick and mortar. If you're counting brick and mortar, they still beat out, and they do have a large online presence, but Amazon's the largest retailer now.
Yeah. Amazon's second largest private employer in the U.S. also says it now backs legalizing marijuana nationwide. Quote, in the past, like many employers, we disqualified.
Amazon are getting into the weed business.
That's not the joke I was going to make with this article, but
okay,
I can see
sorry.
That too. No, that's
sorry,
good.
I didn't realize
that's
you were lining
that's an
up.
actual that's an actual analysis that's probably correct. I was going to joke that we need to be ordering more random shit from Amazon because workers who are fucking stoned are more likely to like, and I don't know, an NVIDIA tablet. Here you go. Have fun. You know, you know, be like ordering from Firehouse Pizza back in the day, Mad Men, you know, when they had nothing but stoners working there.
Still do. Oh, I'm so wish they would bring back the wings I used to have. They changed their recipe and it's not as good anymore.
For the record, when you ordered pizza from that place, because it was nothing but a bunch of stoners who worked there, you'd order like a medium pizza with pepperoni and you would get a medium that was a large and it would have so much shit on it.
Or you'd get a cheese pizza.
Yeah.
It was kind of random. I mean, generally you turned out better than you ordered, but not always.
I just remember the one time we ordered a Meat Lovers and it was like an inch thick of meat on the pizza.
God damn.
It's like, fuck. It's like you ate one slice, I'm full. Fuck. Anyways, yeah. In the past, like many employers, we've disqualified people from working at Amazon if they tested positive for marijuana use, the company said in a blog post on Tuesday. However, given where state laws are moving across the U.S., we've changed course. Marijuana users and advocates are now cheering the news, but it may also bring relief to Amazon's hiring managers. The company operates in rapidly expanding two places where marijuana is legal. Yeah, I'm sure they have the same problem as a lot of government employers trying to hire security people. With people, they can't hire anybody because everybody fails the damn drug tests.
Well, the FBI had that problem for a long time. Trying to hire specialists for IT. It couldn't get anyone, man, because they couldn't pass a drug test.
So, Amazon's home state of Washington was among the first states in the country to legalize pot, blah, 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 blah. New York's legalizing marijuana, blah, blah, blah. It's shifting policy. The only job candidates Amazon will screen for marijuana are those applying for positions regulated by the Department of Transportation, a category that includes truck drivers and operators of heavy machinery. Yeah, you probably don't want stoned forklift drivers going around. That could end poorly.
I'm so over the fucking stoner lifestyle. Use it responsibly. You know what I mean? It's not a
thinking
fucking
the German forklift training video.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Like booze. If you're getting up in the morning and hitting a fifth of vodka, you got a fucking problem. If you're hitting the pipe first thing in the morning, you've got a fucking problem. You know what I mean?
So you're saying the flask in the laptop bag, totally normal.
If you're hitting it, you know, like fucking first thing in the morning, no. I mean, even if it's a weekend or something, if you're getting up and drinking first thing on a Saturday morning or hitting the pipe, you've got fucking problems. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, if you're testing fucking positive for weed, don't be fucking high while you're doing the test. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, the tests aren't that pinpoint. We can stay in your system for a couple of weeks.
I know, Madman, but with that attitude, people are like, well, I could just smoke in the car on the way to work and be fine, you know, like high.
Well, I like this bit they have in the next part of the article. The company says it will handle marijuana the same way it would deals with alcohol, and it will still test for all drugs and alcohol after any accidents or other incidents. So it's like, that makes sense to me, you know, especially as somebody who drinks.
Not really.
They're going to have some issues.
Yeah.
And let's say it's Saturday, I get off work at 5, and I get blitzed out of my mind on weed. Now, Wednesday of the next week comes around, I am stone sober, and I drive my forklift through Bob, because Bob's a fucking cunt and needs to die horribly, and now I have an accident and I have to test for. I'm still going to test positive for marijuana.
Yeah,
in this case, it's a good thing because you have the excuse of, oh no, I was high. Not that I was homicidal, because Bob kept going around saying, "Can we fix it?" No, it's fucked. So,
I don't know, man. It just sounds like they're getting into the weed business to me.
Let's,
probably.
I'm skimming ahead to see if it's in the article.
if it becomes legal nationally, I could see them shipping it, because right now, if they ship it, they're going to be afoul of many a law.
No, I think Nancy Pelosi's just ramming something through to make it legal now at the federal level. And as I said last week, this is going to see a lot of private security guys being just dropped. This is going to be this will cause a ripple in the economy. The simple fact that you can't deposit marijuana proceeds into a bank. There are all these private cash holding facilities all over America, which is really going to suck now, because a lot of the ripoff crews are going to have nothing to do.
Yeah, so they'll start going into other things.
Yep. Well, so
I would really like to see one of the richer states go ahead and just pony up the cash and challenge some of our drug laws. I mean, I don't think a lot of the drugs that are illegal should be legal, but they need to be made illegal correctly, and the federal government doesn't have the right to do a blanket ban. They can only say you can't transport between states. It's up to the states to decide whether or not something should be legal or not in their borders.
Yeah, it goes back to, why did we need a constitutional amendment to ban alcohol back in the day?
Yeah. So, if you want to do it correctly.
Yeah, I skimmed ahead in the article. It goes on following the history of marijuana, you know, being legalized, the fact that more states are doing it, that, you know, like you mentioned, the federal government's looking into it. And but yeah, nothing about Amazon themselves getting in the marijuana business, but I think you're right. I could totally see them shipping it.
Well, suddenly everybody's on board with making it federally legal, and Amazon are making some, you know, moves. I just think that, why not? They're in everything else.
And like you guys were saying, if the usage of it is not that different from alcohol, something you do on your own time when you're not going to bother anybody and not to excess, who fucking cares?
Oh, dude, you can use to excess all you want. Just don't infringe on another person's fucking rights.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to get fucked up, you stay at home and you get fucked up on your own. Don't be walking around in public fucking acting the fool. Like, this is why I should never be put in charge of anything, because I believe if you fuck with people three times, that you don't get the right to use weed or alcohol ever again.
Find the drug that makes you violently react to alcohol and just force you to take it from now on.
No, I just, if you ever come in contact with the law again for, you know, that sort of thing, the punishment will be swift and it will be long.
You've been ordered to report to the arena. You are now to be trained as a gladiator. Your life is about expectancy just dropped to about 6 months.
Boy, you do not want me in charge of anything. We'll have empty prisons. I'll empty the prisons out in months.
We'll make the
months.
Trains run. I mean,
so, you know how they go around and then start rounding up the beggars and the vagrants and shit like that? I will clean America up in less than 6 months if you elect me. Guaranteed. The prisons will be empty in three. And we'll be rounding up the vagrants and the homeless.
Oh. We could have them start fighting silverback gorillas for entertainment.
Fuck yes. It'd we are going to save the... Yep.
Oh. And as far as the homeless, I do think we need to set up two systems. Or have one piggyback into the other. Because we have kind of two flavors of homeless that I've noticed. One are the crazies that we need to just filter into the medical profession and either get them treatment or get them institutionalized in a nice long-term care facility. And then we have the bums that can just go through the normal prison system and they'll either learn their lesson or become slave labor in the prisons.
Well, I know I was joking about slave labor in the prisons the other day, but our prison system's pretty fucked up too. So, chat's updated. Oh, rats. I didn't have much choice in that. The IRC client we used to run on the webpage, they updated their client and it quit working with Freenode. I don't know if that's related to the drama going on with Freenode, but I was able. I had to update the chat client so it would work again, which we did, and it's fine. I don't I don't know if I want to stick with this setup or not. I know I want to redo the webpage at some point. I'm thinking probably this fall. I may go grab the old show archives and put them up as zip files and clean out and, you know, do something different with the webpage. I don't know yet. I'm open to suggestions, but I haven't made firm plans.
Oh, we need to get the old archive from Sard and throw everything up.
Yeah, we could. And you mean the old IHN stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original site went down, didn't it?
That's why I joined the IRC today, man. It was different. I wanted to have a look at it.
Ah, I didn't think that was actually you.
I thought
that was Fox or somebody trolling.
You will deny me three times before I'm arrested.
Well, you know, this bag of silver looks so nice.
Who was saying that the sound seemed... I checked your end, man. It seems good here.
Yeah,
I did.
Do I have any buffer underruns? No, the buffer count looks good on the broadcast box. Audio cutting in and out usually means still connected to the proxy and forgot. I don't know what to tell you, dude. I'm not seeing anything on my side that looks like we're having problems.
And I check the stream periodically every 10 minutes for 2 minutes, and it's sounding fine.
Although I did just see we're at 50 minutes and we're about not halfway through the story. So web player
keep
crashes
some
for me.
Next.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And that's, you know, I was thinking about, do I want to get rid of Icecast or not? Do we want to get rid of the stream or not and do something different? But I like the idea that you can use dedicated clients to get at the stream, that you can get the chat with a dedicated client, that you can get to everything without... I mean, the web page is convenient, sure, but, you know, having options like that where you can use any old IRC client, you can use anything that supports, you know, web radio to get at, you know, the Icecast stream. I like that stuff. So I don't know that I want to change the technology. I might change the service provider, but I don't know that I want to change the technology. So... but yeah, I would like to examine what we're doing with G15 and see if, I don't know. I've got too much going on right now, so it's hard to actually sit down and think about it, but I am open to ideas. That said, well, I should probably wait and talk about this at the end of the show, but, we're going to do a show next week. Maybe on the 17th, and then we're going to go on hiatus for a bit because I've got a bunch of shit I got to deal with. So I'll mention that again at the show at the end of the week, but or at the end of the show. But yeah, and after that, I am going to be looking to redesign some stuff for G15, see what we can do with it. So if you guys have ideas, things you'd like to see on the main webpage, let me know. We'll see what we can do. Even if it's... I mean, you know, even if it's not feasible, send it to me anyways. I had a bunch of people at work, we were talking about automation, say, well, you probably can't do this, and then send me a bunch of things. It's like, I could totally do that. So, of course, on the other hand, if somebody says, yeah, you might not be able to do this, and then they send me something that you really can't do, and you say, yeah, you're right. So, you know, that's fine. You know, we can still wish list it and see what we could do. The Register has an article here. Norton LifeLock, the company that offers consumer products Broadcom didn't want when it bought Symantec.
I love that description.
I mean, has started to offer Ethereum mining as a feature of its Norton 360 security suite. So I guess I should explain a little bit. When Broadcom bought Symantec, they split the Norton branding off. They basically didn't want it because, like McAfee, Norton branding has gotten such a bad reputation for fucking up personally, normally good computers, that they dropped the brand. And I guess this other company, Forman, picked it up. Norton LifeLock, which makes me wonder if it's the old, you know, the original LifeLock company, the one where the CEO was publishing his social security number, where they just bought the brand name.
I'm going to have to give that man kudos because he was standing behind his product.
He got hacked so many times.
I mean, it wasn't worth standing behind with that much, you know, gusto, but I love a man that will stand behind his product.
A bit about the homeless fighting silverback gorillas. So anyways, the antivirus makers' pitch for the product rests on the argument that casual cryptocurrency miners can't or don't take security seriously, perhaps by running iffy code that might steal their money. So here's a trusted tool to safely craft coins for them. Bullshittest thing I've ever heard. For years, many coin miners have had to take risks in their quest for cryptocurrency. No, they haven't. It's called open source code. You can audit it.
Here we go.
Disabling their security in order to run crypto mining and allowing unvetted code on the machines that could be skimmed from their earnings or even planting ransomware. This is why you use dedicated mining hardware on a dedicated network that can't touch anything else. You don't mine directly into your own wallet. You do it through a mining pool. The mining pool then makes deposits into your mining wallet. Your mining wallet then makes deposits whenever you decide it's time or on a schedule into your main wallet through whatever system you're using to manage your encryption. If you're smart, you're using hardware tokens or offline wallets for your main storage wallets. You're not.
This could have been the Digital Dojo, how to mine correctly.
Just if you're going to do that, just grab nice hash and run it on those graphics cards. There's no reason to do hard shit. Or you go for the hokey stuff like the Helium Miner, where it's working off RF radio, or the one that uses all the hard drives, and just, you know, raid eBay for old data center equipment. Don't. I'm not going to read the rest of this article. It's dumb. Basically, they're going to add a feature to Norton 360 to mine Ethereum for you.
So if I'm already using Norton A, I don't know anyone that's using Norton.
Nobody's using Norton anymore. But yeah, they want to offer Norton crypto, and they want to use, and they want to mine Ethereum for you as part of a feature of their antivirus software. I mean, there's trying to ride a fad, and then there's just what the fuck. Because this is almost like hot gluing two things together, covering it in sparkles and saying, I invented something. And then being surprised when nobody thinks you're Steve Jobs. it's buying crypto through PayPal. They'll never give the coin. Digital camera asks how to avoid recording over the tape. Audio's crapping out again. Rats, dude, I don't know what to tell you. You just checked it a minute ago and said it was fine. Yes, digital camera, how to avoid taping over the tape. Well, I mean, I have family members who I refuse to admit FaceTime is a thing to for reasons like that, so I understand. It's like, no, we're not acknowledging that FaceTime's a thing, because otherwise I would have to have a studio set up 24/7 to do video production, because it would never turn off. It would just, every 5 minutes, you'd hear that thing making that noise. So, just have to stop answering it. It's like, oh yeah, no, my iPad broke. I'm sorry.
The internet died for a year. I'm sorry.
Issue with your ISP? Maybe. My ISP's been shitty lately. It's like, believe it or not, it's actually one of the reasons I'm moving, because I want to get better internet, and I'm sick and tired of only having the one choice. It's low on the totem pole of reasons I'm moving, but it is on the list. Too many hops causing issues. Yeah, that's where they've got a route set up incorrectly, and you're actually hitting that timeout. And there's not much you can do about it when the ISP has a shit route. So, yeah, get kicked from service. I had that problem too. I've never seen ping below 70 on a lot of games. I mean, a few different connections don't have that problem, especially the local stuff. But like, Overwatch is a good example. I get really fucking tired of getting shot around walls because my ping is right in that sweet spot where it's not high enough to get the high band, the high ping protection, but not low enough to actually be that good Twitch reaction. So you kind of get just fucked on both ends of it.
Yeah, that's what I say in Hell Let Loose.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's not me, it's the connection.
It's the ping, yeah.
It's not my shitty gameplay.
So, you know, after I have that new ISP connection and, you know, we load up Overwatch and I still get my ass kicked, I'll come up with some new excuse. But for now, I'm blaming the ping. A lot of game engines will do the, they'll do ping compensation if you're in the 200 to 300 range or above, where they start doing the predictive thing. Overwatch, they have this model they actually call favor the shooter, where, you know, if you're in the line of sight on the shooter screen and you get shot, that's the thing the server takes. So according to the client on the person who shot you's end, according to them, they made the shot, but according to you, you had already made cover or you were already around a corner or whatever. And so I can't tell you the number of times I've rubber banded back out into, you know, the open field and fell over dead. And it gets fucking old fucking fast.
Diva bombs get me with that.
Yeah. You know, well, you were telling me they fixed Roadhog's hook because it used to do that too to me all the fucking time. But a lot of games, when your ping is high enough, they'll take that into account. So, I'm not sure with Overwatch's engine, but I know a lot of engines with the ping is high enough, they'll start predicting where you should be on the server based on the lag and using that to account for whether or not, you know, you were actually getting shot or not. Being a high ping bastard still doesn't help, but it's one of those things where you're just kind of in an odd spot and, you know, the game engine just feels off. And part of the problem is the last time I was doing serious gaming was at LAN parties. So, you know, you get used to that sub 10 millisecond ping. And, my previous connection before that was actually pretty good. So, you know, you got used to that 20 to 30 millisecond ping. And then going up to, you know, the 70 to 100 range, it just doesn't work, man. And, of course, I don't have the patience I used to have either. So that doesn't help either. Of course, poor are you. You play on American servers from where you live. You probably get used to what a 400 millisecond ping.
I was born in 300 plus ping, my friend.
You merely adopted the dark ping, the high ping.
Exactly.
I was born into.
I'm good now. I get around about 100 now, 150. I was playing Japanese servers a couple nights back, and it was only 90.
Yeah, we'll have to let you pick the server sometime and let the rest of us scream about the ping.
No, because I suck, man. We've done that a few times, and I'm fucking terrible at low ping play because I'm already compensating. I'm just so used to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm struggling now to get used to 150. You know, even that's like too good. But I prefer a higher ping than a lower ping. It's just because I played that so many years, man. You're just used to it.
You know, back in the day, I had the little, what was it called? My NES controller was the arcade stick, you know? And I got so used to playing with that arcade stick that when I first went to a Super Nintendo, trying to go back to D-pads just killed me. And, you know, it's like you said, it's just being used to it. And it took a long fucking time to get used to using D-pad again.
Oh, the loss of turbo buttons was probably a pain, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got used to that, too. But, yeah, I mean, that was how I beat Mega Man 2 and 3 was the turbo buttons. But, you know, back when I was a kid. Although there are times Not often, but every once in a while. We'd almost give anything to be back that little tiny wooden desk in my parents, you know, in my bedroom, parents' house, with that repurposed Commodore monitor hooked up to the NES, you know, playing those original games.
There you go, getting homesick for a time that doesn't exist.
You're right. Next article is from Bleeping Computer. Windows 10 Package Manager flooded with fucked up apps.
So imagine my shock.
Yeah. Last week, Microsoft released the first stable version of its Windows 10 Package Manager, WinGet, which enables users to manage apps via the command line. Much like package managers available on other platforms, WinGet lets Windows users automate app management when it comes to installing and configuring, upgrading, etc. But over the weekend, multiple users flooded WinGet software repository with pull requests for apps that are either duplicate or malformed, thereby raising concerns about the integrity of the WinGet ecosystem. This is why most places don't do completely open repos. They have a repo manager approving things. Connected to VPN and you're not getting drops anymore, and then he lost IRC connection. Rats is having a time tonight.
Having a day, man. Yeah,
if you reconnected to the VPN and it's staying good, that means your ISP has picked up a fucked up BGP route somewhere.
Yep.
And your VPN hasn't, so you're just routing better. Let's see. Microsoft first introduced the preview version of the Windows 10 Package Manager, Microsoft Build 2020. Since then, Microsoft developed WinGet as an open source project on GitHub. Last week marked a milestone when the first stable version was released. Microsoft guidelines state that independent software vendors looking to upload their application to the WinGet registry can do so simply by submitting the application's manifest on their GitHub. Furthermore, when contributors submit a manifest to WinGet's GitHub, with some exceptions, the manifests are automatically validated by WinGet's bot against set criteria. Over Memorial Day weekend, multiple pull requests emerged on WinGet's GitHub containing names of apps that already existed on the package manager's registry. Moreover, some pull requests contained incorrect application names and manifests or bad links from where the application should be fetched. In a few other cases, new pull requests would override existing applications manifest with incomplete info. So somebody set out to destroy this thing. They're flooding it with garbage, and that sucks when this happens, because the article goes on talking about how it's happened before to like PyPy and some of the other language specific repos out there. It's interesting because by flooding it like this, I wonder if they're testing it to see how hard it would be to flood it with malware, especially if they're doing duplicates and things like that. And I wouldn't put it past people for doing that. Yeah, Chocolatey Dev's hiring. Yeah. Yeah, that's the funny thing. You figured Microsoft would have just bought Chocolatey and called it a day as opposed to writing their own. But anyways, next article. Do you guys have anything on that?
No, I'm good.
Right. Now go ahead.
Last article actually for tonight is from Torrent Freak. Nintendo has just won a $2.1 million summary judgment against the owner and operator of the now-defunct pirate site ROM Universe. California federal court ruled that the man, a Los Angeles resident, uploaded and distributed pirated Nintendo games. In addition, he profited from mass-scale copyright infringement by charging paid subscriptions. September 2019, gaming giant Nintendo filed a lawsuit against the game download portal ROM Universe. The website facilitated massive online copyright infringement of many popular Nintendo titles, according to the complaint filed at a California district court. Nintendo said that ROM Universe made things worse by profiting from these copyright infringements by selling paid premium accounts that allowed users to download as many games as they wanted. The site's operator, Los Angeles resident Matt Storman, clearly disagreed with these allegations. Without an attorney, he decided to defend himself in court. There's a mistake. In his view, the site wasn't breaking any laws, and he asked the court to dismiss the case. Without an attorney, he's going in there saying, "No, I think I'm good. Judge, make it go away."
Yeah.
That was that. He didn't even frame a legal argument.
I think he did. I just think it wasn't very good.
Okay.
Nintendo picked this defense apart, and the court found on its side. This meant that Storman had to face the charges, as well as millions of dollars in potential damages. The ROM Universe site also remained online initially, but last summer, after discussions with Nintendo's legal team, the operator agreed to shut it down. However, that didn't end the case. After investing a substantial amount in legal fees, the gaming giant moved for a summary judgment and $15 million in damages. This is a straightforward video game piracy case, and the material facts are undisputed, Nintendo informed the court. Quote, for over a decade, defendant Matthew Storman owned and operated the website ROM Universe. He populated the website with pirated copies of thousands of different Nintendo games and distributed hundreds of thousands of copies of those pirated games. Storman, who continued in court without a lawyer, clearly disagreed. In his opposition brief, he denied that ROM Universe offered for download and distributed pirated ROMs of thousands of Nintendo games. Storman also argued that he never uploaded any games himself. Earlier this week, U.S. District Court Judge Consuelo Marshall ruled on the matter, largely siding with Nintendo. Oh. Of course he did. So, his defense was, I'm just hosting a platform. Nobody's, I don't know what's on there. Oh. Yeah, that defense doesn't work. According to the court, Nintendo provided sufficient evidence to show that Storman is liable for direct, contributory, and vicarious copyright infringement. In addition, trademark infringement claims were also accepted. Storman's denials failed to convince the court, as he admitted to uploading content to the site in a previous deposition. Whoops. Quote, defendant filed a declaration in opposition to the motion where he declared that he denies and disputes that he uploaded any files to the website, and at no time did he verify the contents of said ROM file, which is directly contradictory to his own sworn deposition testimony where he testified that he uploaded the ROM files onto his website, Judge Marshall notes. Furthermore, defendant testified that at his deposition that his website indicated that copies of Nintendo's copyrighted games were available to download from the website. Storman also profited from the infringements of users by charging for premium access to the site. He testified that during 2019, the site generated between $30,000 and $36,000 in revenue, which was his main source of income at the time. Nintendo requested more than $15 million in copyright and trademark infringement damages, and the court didn't want to go that far. Judge Marshall believes that $35,000 statutory damages for each of the 49 copyrighted works is sufficient. This adds up to $1.7 million, which is substantially lower than the $90,000 per work requested by Nintendo. Damn.
No game they sell is worth $90,000.
I mean, if anything, they ought to be worth what the cost of one of these games would be in retail, right? So like $50 a piece? Am I wrong in that?
No, I think the retail price is correct. I think the $50 is an exaggeration depending on the game, but if you're doing an average, it would work. Because like Zelda's $100 and then some no-name game no one ever played is like $5.
But not when it came out. Like, if you were buying it back when it was current, they were like $30,
$40.
Oh, yeah, that one.
The judge should do the ruling like you're selling old games to GameStop and what penalties he has to pay.
$5 a piece and $30 in store credit.
I want to sell my games where you're selling yours, dude. $5 a piece? Holy shit.
When we traded in our Super Nintendo to get a Sega Saturn, which was a major mistake back in the day, but, you know.
Oh, yes, I made the same mistake.
At the time, we didn't know. We thought the Super Nintendo was done, and the Saturn was going to be the way to go, because it had... I will defend that choice to go with Sega Saturn over PlayStation or anything else, because it had the technology stack. The fact that the games never came sucked, but, as far as what was the better console, I think the Saturn was better than the PlayStation.
Saturn wins hands down.
Now, PlayStation had the games, though, so there's that. considering defendant's willful infringement, court finds $35,000 statutory damages for each infringed copyright would compensate plaintiffs for its lost revenue and defer defendant, who is currently unemployed and has already shut down the website. So in other words, they're fully admitting this man has no money. In other words, the judge is doing this because he knows he's going to bankrupt out of it anyways. The trademark damages are also much lower than requested. Nintendo's original motion asked for $400,000 each for 29 trademarks, but the court awarded $400 each for all combined, which could be an oversight. Quote, the court finds the requested $400,000 in statutory damages, which equals approximately $14,286 in statutory damages for each of the 28 counterfeit marks is appropriate, the order reads. Finally, Judge Marshall decided not to issue a permanent injunction against Stormin. Nintendo failed to show that it suffered irreparable harm, and the fact that Stormin already shut down the site shows there's no imminent threat of future infringement. All in all, the court ordered the former ROMverse operator to pay a total of $2,115,000 in damages. The court grants plaintiff motion for summary judgment, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I mean, this guy's going to just bankrupt out of it, right? He's unemployed. He's shut down the site. He was making $30,000 a year, which is barely enough to live in Los Angeles. I mean, come on. So... and yeah, if this is old classic ROMs, most of these probably aren't even for sale anymore. So I don't know how that works. I guess it doesn't matter from a copyright point of view, but it's like they're literally not available anymore. I'm not certain with like the classic games you can get on the modern Nintendo consoles, but I doubt it was all of them. Because apparently with the Switch, they rotate out what classic games are available on it.
So, yeah, and even if you're buying one of the licensed ROMs, they never come with all the games. Get like 100 or 200 or 500, something like that.
Yeah, if Nintendo really wants to be going after somebody for piracy, go on Amazon, punch in multi-cart. There's a whole bunch of people you can sue because they're obviously selling versions of the games that are not authorized, and they're selling them. They're not setting up a website saying, here, have a ROM, you know? So, I'm more surprised that you don't see Nintendo suing, you know, all these Nintendo on a chip guys selling multi-carts and the little cheapy knockoff game consoles that are like the 401 or whatever, right? Actually, yeah. I've got a couple of those, and some of those are pretty fun. Like, I've got this little handheld that's like, I don't know what, maybe 30 millimeter thick, if that. And actually, I don't think it's even that much. I don't know. It's like the thickness of a notepad. And... but it's like this little Game Boy, and it plays NES games, and it's got like 400 games built into it. I totally didn't snap it apart to see if it was an SD card or not, and then be horribly disappointed at the epoxy blob. But it still works just fine, and it's got a bunch of different NES games on it. And, you know, for like $10 on eBay, it was actually pretty cool. So, you know, but... yeah...
this brings me back to an argument we had on a slightly separate subject with copyright, but I do believe if you stop publishing something, your copyright should go up on it.
Well, our intellectual property laws are pretty fucked up, especially copyright. What is it, life of the author plus 150 years or however long Mickey Mouse is, you know, whenever it comes up again?
Yeah, but I'm thinking if it's been out of publication for 2 years, it's public domain. I can even see that with video games, too.
I don't really have a problem with that idea. I really don't. Because you're right. If it's not available anymore, why wouldn't it be public domain?
Yeah, if I can't go buy the original Nintendo version of Ninja Turtles and then cry because I still can't make it past the fucking dam. No, it was the... I made it past the dam. Was it the Megadrome?
Well, finding the Technodrome was a pain in the ass.
The Technodrome,
it was
yeah.
Random.
Getting to the Technodrome? Yeah, fuck that. And the dam was a bitch level 2. But either way, if I can't go out and buy the game, and I want to play it, and it's out there, you're not profiting from it if I download it, because you're not profiting.
You literally
can't
buy
it. Buy
it, yeah.
Yeah. So you're not losing a sale on something I can't buy from you.
So, I don't know. You have any thoughts, are you?
Not really, man. I just checked mine. My favorite ROM site doesn't work anymore.
Oh. Let me check mine.
Coming up on an hour and a half, dude, and I'm getting hungry.
Okay. And for the record, my favorite ROM site is still up. Arcade
Punks. I'll get that off you after the show.
I'll tell you now, Arcade Punks. I like that one. Okay. They have pre-built Raspi images with like RetroPie and all the games loaded in them. It's nice. So, anyways, for Digital Dojo tonight, I have this interesting open source project called RimBG. And this has one purpose and one purpose alone, and that's making meme images or goofy YouTube videos where you've composited all the animations together. It is a machine learning Python script that runs entirely locally, so you're not dependent on like Google or something to do machine learning. It runs on PyTorch. And what it does is you identify the subject. It identifies the subject of your photos and cuts them out of it. So, the examples are like, here's an elephant. Here's the elephant with the background removed. Here's cars with the backgrounds removed. Here's a lion with the background removed. RimBG, and I just turned 5. We're all children. 3D printer adapted to give rim jobs. Oh, the sad part is that it would be easier than you think. Anyways. Yeah, you get the clip.
Wouldn't the hot end burned a bit?
Well, not if you set the temperature correctly.
We're not going to explain how to do this correctly. We're moving back to the story now.
You just need to know what the body temperature is in Celsius and set that in your G code before you have it. Having that hot end moving in the pattern that you like. God, I'm going to stop now.
Yeah, so don't type in 100 degrees. I got that.
This is a Python script that you feed it a JPEG and it cuts the subject out of the JPEG automatically. Don't know how well it's going to work for everything, but in a lot of their examples and in the forum post I found it on, it seemed like it worked pretty good. I haven't gotten to play with it very much yet, but if you do meme images, this thing looks useful. If you do strange YouTube animations, it's probably useful. There's probably other uses for it, but I don't know if this would remove the Shutterstock watermarking or not, but you can try it. And since it all runs local, hey, no problem with it does require CUDA, I think. I do think it uses the CUDA cores in your graphics card. So Rat says, when I found out that those handjob machines that link in the... Okay. Yeah, well, I was watching a podcast earlier today that they kept having a sex robot invade, so it was funny the first time, not so much the second time. That's all I have for today, of course. Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure Decking every Thursday, the Galaxy 15 radio site and subreddit. And in the IRC tonight, we have myself, Sardonic, Cyberlard, Psychros, DPView, Herats, Madman, RU486, and a distinct lack of sex robots. Madman, closing thoughts.
Don't Google teledildonics. You don't want to see what comes up.
Man, why are you punching yourself in the pants over there?
Well, I was just looking at the IRC and seeing a thing that stops surprising people. And I'm like, that's what stops surprising me, is that the term teledildonics exists. And then what comes up when you type it in?
Can you insert it into the Amazon cloud? Are you closing? Go ahead.
Probably, and there could be images related to that. In the Amazon cloud.
Are you closing thoughts?
I have nothing. Thank you, Madman. You've fucking ruined my lunch.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
Now I'm just going to nose down and call it a night.
Well, of course. Just another afternoon of surfing the internet for hardcore porn with your kids.
Shut up, Wesley.